from Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome to the third hour of the big show, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with us today. Man, it's been a busy Tuesday. Normally this week, a lot of the conservative talk radio hosts, they take the whole week off, so they have the fill-in host. But not us here at the Todd Starnes radio program. No, we are here till it's time to put on the turkey. By the way, there's an interesting survey, and we're going to ask our good friend David Barton about this in just a moment. There's an interesting survey over on The Economist. The Economist and YouGov commissioned a survey. Remember back in the day, remember what Obama used to tell people? He would tell the young people, go home and you need to get into arguments with your family. You need to confront your Uncle Joe from LJ, and you got to convince them of the error of their ways. You got to tell them to stop watching Fox News. Well, Newsmax now, but that was back in the day when Fox News was, you know, good. And so anyway, I mean, the whole point of this was Obama was telling you to go back home for Thanksgiving and get into arguments with your family. And I'm very curious, Grace Baker, you are a young person, newly married.
Yes, I am.
Did you guys in the household, have y'all had the big arguments over Thanksgiving with the Baker clan?
No, we do talk. I feel like politics always gets brought up at any family gathering, but pretty much everyone's in, you know, unison agreement. So there's never, I'm not a yeller and I hate being yelled at. There's no yelling going on.
So
if
nobody's,
there was, I would leave the room.
So nobody's like thrown the cranberry salad at, you know, somebody, or.
That would be a crime. That'd be a waste of good food.
Throwed roll. Remember, well, the throwed roll. I mean, if you're throwing a roll, typically you're in Branson, Missouri at
yes,
the place that
I've
does
been,
the. Throw
been there
rolls.
Before. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. We tried that once at our family. It didn't work out very well.
It's not the same as in the restaurant.
No. And neither is the China. No arguing in
nope.
the Baker household. This is
no.
interesting because according to the Economist YouGov poll, an overwhelming majority of Americans do not argue over Thanksgiving dinner. 78%.
Wow, shocking.
So contrary to what you would believe from the Democrats and big Hollywood movie makers and all that kind of stuff, everybody basically just gets along. And why would you not? You have a table full of food.
Exactly.
All right, let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Thank you, Grace Baker. Our good friend from wallbuilders.org, David Barton, is hanging out with us today. David, what about yourself, the Barton household? Do y'all have knockdown dragouts, or you just have a good time of fellowship?
Well, we can't decide whether Thanksgiving is going to be a day of Thanksgiving or whether we're going to celebrate the National Day of Mourning. So we've got a choice there, and it's a close fight. No, it's not close at our household, but that is the decision that a lot are having now. And even USA Today this week came out with all the myths, they called it, about Thanksgiving. And actually, the myths are actually the true stuff, and it's just that they've revised history so much that when they revised history has become true history to them. So Thanksgiving should not be a day of contest. It should not be a day of arguing over the origins of that holiday. There's just too much authoritative documentation for it to be an argument. But the things we argue about today, neither red nor blue would have argued about 20 years ago because we all knew better. But we have just so much lost the history of Thanksgiving that now on colleges, they are taught that this is to be the National Day of Mourning for all the atrocities the Pilgrims did to the Native Americans when they came.
Well, you're right about that, David. And by the way, David Barton from wallbuilders.com, wallbuilders.com, great, great website, and you've got to bookmark this website. All sorts of great stuff for you there. And David, this is part of this effort to really, I guess, culturally cleanse the country and yeah. rewrite American history. And, you know, a lot of people stop at the Founding Fathers and say, well, it's the attacks on the Founding Fathers. But as you point out, this goes all the way back to what happened at Plymouth Rock.
Well, it does. And we see so many attacks now. And by the way, I said, I didn't finish my statement right, because I said this is the day that they celebrate the Pilgrims having killed so many Indians. And just to make sure that nobody thinks I'm really saying that, the longest lasting treaty in American history between Anglos and Natives is one of the Pilgrims. And when it was broken 54 years later, it was the natives who broke it, not the Pilgrims. So all of this I did facetiously, tongue-in-cheek, but in case somebody doesn't know, no, the Pilgrims, great relations with Indians. They were great equality people. The second load of slaves that came to America came to the Pilgrims, and they promptly freed the slaves, imprisoned the slave owners, and they quoted the verse out of Exodus against man-stealing. And so, you know, there's just a whole different tone to what we get on these guys. But we're seeing the narrative change. Even 1619 Project, when they were confronted about how wrong their history was, they said, well, we don't care whether the history's right or wrong. We're trying to change the narrative. And that's really important. Truth doesn't matter. We just want a different story. And that's really what's happening with Thanksgiving. It's happening with Columbus. I mean, I know of no one else in history who has 600 statues erected to them except Columbus. And two generations ago, a generation ago, nobody would have questioned. I mean, he wasn't perfect by any means. There were things he did bad, but oh my gosh, he was so far ahead of the rest of that generation in what he did right. And so this is about changing the narrative, and that's Thanksgiving. They take as another opportunity to kind of undermine America, change the narrative, and they're not after truth. They're just changing the story, and that's not a good deal.
What is it, David, that you would recommend moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas do to change that and to restore the true narrative, the true story of Thanksgiving?
Well, one of the things that is really good to do is there's a number of websites, ours included, that has the true story of Thanksgiving. And if you read the true story of Thanksgiving from those who were actually there from both Native American side and Pilgrim side, it's a really cool story. And so we just came out with a book called The American Story that looks at the difference of the impact of the Pilgrims versus the impact of the Jamestown colony on America. And America really did become the Pilgrims. All the good things that we did, you can pretty much track back to the Pilgrims. So there's lots of websites out there, wallbuilders.com, we've got it. But the thing I would throw out is that originally that first Thanksgiving, and by the way, next year in November will be the 400th anniversary of that Thanksgiving. So it's going to be a great time of celebration next year. But it was a time of thanking God. It was a time of athletic activities. They had wrestling matches and gun shooting matches and races and et cetera. And it was also a time of food and 3 days of feasting. So when you look at those three elements, we just want to make sure at Thanksgiving we don't forget the God element, because there's going to be the football games. There's going to be the food and feasting. Just don't forget the God element, because that's what it was all about. And the other interesting thing that kind of goes contrary to the new narrative they're putting out is the bad relations between the Pilgrims and the Wampanoag Indians. Well, you know, at that Pilgrim Festival, that first one, there were about 53 Pilgrims there. There were only about 13 male adults there. There were children, there were 20-some-odd children and women. And there were 90 Wampanoag warriors, Chief Massasoit and his Wampanoag warriors. If there had been tensions, that wouldn't lasted but about 15 minutes, and all the Anglos would have been wiped out. But 3 days of festivity and fun and athletics and camaraderie and feasting and thanking God, that's what it was about, and that's what we need to keep it about today.
David, when you look at what's happening in our country right now, many families are being told they cannot celebrate Thanksgiving. We have to stay locked inside our homes. Many businesses have been told to shut down. Honestly, it not only does it not feel like Thanksgiving in a lot of places around the country, it doesn't feel like America in many places around our country.
It does not, and there is a big move now among legislators to start pushing back on some of this. You still have a lot of governors and mayors that are taking center stage, but what people are not aware of is that since this COVID thing started, there have been 3,408 pieces of state legislation introduced where legislatures are trying to get control of their states again, take it back from their governors and others. And so in the last 2 to 3 weeks, we've started winning a number of federal lawsuits on this. But, you know, there's the thing we point out is there's a big difference between public health officials and private health officials. Public health officials have always tended to be fairly liberal, fairly blue. Private health officials have a very different perspective. And so while we hear about the Anthony Fauci's and guys like that, we don't hear about the Great Barrington Declaration with tens of thousands of epidemiologists and scientists who are on the other side saying this is not the right thing to do. Don't mask up. Don't avoid social, don't avoid social gatherings. So we keep hearing the liberal social public social health official side and not the other. And as we all know, and you've covered, I mean, it's not about how many infections there are. It's how many mortalities, how many deaths there are. And while infections are going way up, deaths are still really, really low. In our city of Fort Worth, Dallas area, about 5 million people, we had 2 deaths yesterday. So our infections are way up, but our deaths are way down. So this is that herd immunity we've all been hearing about. But the public health officials just don't have the right perspective generally on stuff like this. And that's where the legislators are starting to push back against their governors, and that's really good news.
David, real quick before we let you go, you guys have just a terrific Christmas store already launched, and you guys have some incredible books, and I'm going through, and I just ordered my copy of The American Story, The Beginnings, but I'm going to need a bigger bookshelf. You got a lot of great stuff here.
Yeah, we try to take the things that are going on in the culture and put history in perspective. Plus, we've just gone back and started reprinting some really old, cool stuff from back in the day, whether it be some old Christmas things that we use for generations in America. Just going back and remembering the old things sometimes is good. We're about to come out with a 1826 book that was used in schools for decades on the Constitution. It's one of the best primers on the Constitution we've ever seen, as people are becoming conscious of the Constitution now. It's not a new document, so let's go back to what we taught for all those years in school. It's really cool stuff. So we do have a lot of stuff, Todd, and thank you for mentioning that. But old stuff, new stuff, relevant stuff, fun stuff, faith stuff, just a lot of stuff. Thank you.
All right. Wallbuilders.com, ladies and gentlemen. Got to bookmark that. Check out the website and the great books there. Some terrific Christmas presents for your family members and for your youngsters there at wallbuilders.com. David Barton, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate you.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. So good guy right there, David Barton from Wall Builders. And, you know, one of the challenges, I love to read, and I'm a huge reader of biographies. And one of the big problems I had was finding, you know, you go to the Barnes & Noble, you go to the bookstores, and it's hard to find those books that actually portray Ronald Reagan in a fair and balanced way. And then a couple of years ago, a friend of mine who was on the staff at West Coast Baptist College was taking me. I was there for a speaking engagement. They were taking me back to Los Angeles International Airport and said, hey, have you ever been by the Reagan Library? And I said, well, no, I had not. So it took a little detour and got a quick tour of the Reagan Library, and I didn't realize they had a huge book section there. And so I was able to go and purchase all the books, and my philosophy is if the Reagan Library is selling the books about Ronald Reagan, they're going to be good books. So I bought like 25, 30 books and had them all shipped back to New York City. The same thing applies to Wall Builders. And if you are a mom or a dad or a grandma or grandpa, and you want to make sure your kids or your grandkids are getting good, important, true information, then you're going to want to go to Wall Builders and get their products. I literally just ordered The American Story. Looking forward to reading that book, the latest by David Barton. All right, we've got to take a break here. Some of you on hold, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls. 844-747-8868. Coming up in just a few moments, Congressman Paul Gosar is going to drop by. We'll get the very latest on the ballot counts from him. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and this just bears repeating. We've got to stand firm. We've got to fight the good fight here. Do not be discouraged. And again, I know the GSA, they're going to go ahead and begin the transition process, but the GSA does not determine who the next president of the United States is. And by the way, Emily Murphy, the great American patriot in charge of the GSA, I mean the hate and the vitriol that has been directed at her. She has received incredible death threats online, by telephone, by mail. Her family has been threatened. Her staff has been threatened. They even threatened her family pets. I mean, what kind of a person does that? I mean, these are very bad people, very bad people. So you can't give in to the bullies. You got to take a stand. Let's see how this thing goes. All right, to the phones we go. Brenda, Dayton, Ohio. I know you've been holding on for a while. Welcome to the show, Brenda.
Hello, Todd. It's good to talk with you again.
Well, you're very kind to say that. What's on your mind today?
Well, I want to give a grand salute to Glenn, the vet from Vietnam, as well as, I believe his name was Tony, the Marine, which my son had hoped to be a Marine before his car accident. But I just got to say, in spite of all the difficulties, you know, let's let the battle begin. God has made us strong people. We have hope. We are inspired. We've been tested throughout the years. So let's not give up. Let's be patient and not despair. Yet this old mama bear's been aroused because I've been cut off from my disabled son from 5 hours a week to 3 hours to now only 30-minute visits two times a week. And this is wrong. This is very wrong. And it's time for us as people to get in contact with our legislators and our local folks and do something about the wrongdoings in this country, because we have the strength. We can fight. We can think intelligently. We can do this together. We must not give up. I've lived under three Marxist dictators, Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, under General Noriega in Panama, and in Zimbabwe under Robert Mugabe. Everything that I saw there is happening here, but we must not quit. We must be steadfast. We've been pushed against the wall. It's time for us to push out and get back to what's right.
Well said, Brenda. And again, thank you for those good words, and thank you for listening to the radio program. Let's go to Alabama, Diana on the line. Hi, Diana. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. I don't like it that Facebook does not show your shows anymore or something. I'm not seeing the posting, so I'm disappointed in that. But I did find you on YouTube. So anyway, but I would like to ask parents this Thanksgiving, when they say a prayer, to put in there about the, you know, a thankfulness for God's majesty and how he has delivered, you know, us. I think of the deliverance of, you know, Moses in the Red Sea and Esther. And I think it's an opportunity to teach the young people, the kids, of God's mighty deliverance, you know, that he does give to his people. So we have to have faith. As a you know, as one who loves children, I do believe that President Trump will help us deliver the children from the indoctrination, but Biden will push more indoctrination, and we are about saving souls. So we got to keep it up. I do disagree with people like Riley and some like Laura Ingraham that says, you know, we just move on 2024. No, we stand now because we're fighting for the children.
Well
this
said.
It's about souls. And we do not stop. We ask God, and I love 2 Chronicles 32:7-8. You know, the armies against us have arms of flesh, but we have the Lord God Almighty. So.
Well said, Diana. Well said, and what a great way to end this segment of the program. God bless you, and what a great idea. Around the Thanksgiving table, let's pray for our president this year. All right, got to take a break. Congressman Paul Gosar coming up, plus your calls. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. What do you want to tell the president? If you had a chance to sit down and talk to the president, what do you tell him to do? Do you tell him to get down to Georgia, hold the MAGA rallies? Do you tell him to fight the good fight, continue to fight until every legal vote is counted? Or do you tell him, you know what, it's time, Mr. President, fly the, just go ahead and throw that white flag up in the air and surrender? What say you, and what do you tell the president? 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, good friend of this program, Congressman Paul Gosar. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Doing well, Todd. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing good. And Congressman, you're causing a bit of a bit of chaos, and you triggered a lot of liberals with a tweet you wrote. And I figured we would start there. This is the headline from the Arizona People's Republic newspaper there. Congressman Paul Gosar compares himself in the MAGA nation to a deluded enemy of the United States.
Well, I'll tell you what, anytime you can get the repugnant up in arms, you must be over the bombing site.
Well said. You know, that's a good point. You know, Congressman, it seems like these days the mainstream media, they take any tweet, anything you do out of context, and they just love to do that. It's part of what they do, their standard operating procedure.
Yeah, it is, Todd, but it's also our standard operating procedure in our office to fight back. You know, we like getting their blood pressure up. And that just shows you that, you know, we're fighters, that we don't like just to acquiesce. You know, drive the message instead of having the message driven at you.
You know, Congressman, when you look at what's happening in the state of Arizona, of course, most of the attention focused right now on Georgia and Pennsylvania. You had some pretty harsh words to say about the votes there in Arizona.
Absolutely, Todd. There was definitely some idiosyncrasies that just don't match up. You know, we had two state senate races that most pundits thought that we would lose our state house and state senate, they would go blue. But there were two, and we were able to keep them red in the Republican aspect. But there were two of those districts that outperformed the president, one by 10,000 votes and the other one by 7,000 votes. And yet it was President Trump that carried them across the finish line. So something's up there. Then there were 38,000 government mail, federal ballots. That's only casting for the president, Senate, and Congress. And how did those all stack up? Then you go to the Navajo Nation, which normally comes in about 40%. It came in at 89%, almost every single one of them for Joe Biden. And then you start looking at 90-year-olds that all of a sudden decide that it's time to register to vote. And then all these nursing homes and assisted living homes that families couldn't go see them because of COVID, yet they all got their ballot in. They registered in ballot. So something was amiss here. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't look right. So there's definite problems, and we need to get to the bottom of it so we don't have other elections like this.
Congressman, do you think that's possible? And the reason I ask that, you know, President Trump, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I think he basically borrowed the Republican Party to do what needed to be done to save the country. And I'm wondering if the Republican Party, by and large, has learned lessons from the president over these past 4 years.
It sure doesn't look like for the main state, you know, main bunch of Republicans. You know, you look at the senators that are all saying acquiesce. You know, you look at the members of the House doing the same type of thing. They don't have any fight in them. They just want to go along to get along. It's this aristocracy, Todd, that I talk about, that's on both sides. They want to keep things just the same old, same old. They don't want to see any change. They don't want to see Main Street become vibrant and the pulse of government. Instead, they want to keep it in Washington, D.C., where they can make their crony deals. So, you know, there's a bunch of us, though, Todd, that are not going to let us slip back in that aspect. And we're going to be aggressive. We're going to make sure that the Republicans stay on an aggressive message and that we dictate instead of being dictated to.
You know, Congressman, I think it's fascinating. There's a new poll out, Morning Consult Politico, and they say a majority of Republicans want President Trump to run for election again in 2024 if things don't work out this go around.
Oh, absolutely. Look at where we came. In trade deals, taking on the big giant in the room, you know, China. Everybody else wants to acquiesce. You know, following the Carter Doctrine, where we actually gave the Chinese all our trade secrets and stuff, just so they'd be much more like us. What kind of fools are we? And then the rule of law. You know, where is that rule of law? Where is that the sweeping changes in the DOJ and the FBI, you know, and our intelligence services? You know, this was nothing short of a coup of trying to take down this president from the time that he walked down the escalator as a candidate to being the nominee to being the president-elect and being to the president. something's got to happen here, Todd, in which we get justice. And that's what's sad. But, you know, this guy's got the thickest skin I've ever seen. And in Webster's Dictionary, if you go to thick skin, it says Donald Trump.
Yes. No, there's no doubt about that, Congressman. I mean, I just can't imagine anyone else being able to take the arrows this guy took. And, you know, we mentioned this earlier. You know, after 4 years in office, a lot of these guys, Obama, Bush, everybody ages dramatically. And we haven't seen that happen with Trump.
No. He's kind of like that ever-ready bunny. He keeps on takes the licking and keeps on ticking. And, you know, it's that bunny rabbit that's got a bite. Yeah. You know, you bite him, he's going to bite you back.
It's like that killer rabbit of the Monty Python. Okay, I'm not going to go down that path. But you know what I'm talking about, Congressman.
Yes.
All right. Well, look, Congressman, hang in there. We want to thank you for fighting the good fight. You're one of the good guys up on Capitol Hill, and we appreciate the great work you're doing for the country.
Well, thank you. Stand for something or fall for everything.
Well,
you've got to get back to the standing principles of this country.
All right. Congressman Paul Gosar, folks, from the great state of Arizona. And he's absolutely right. I mean, we've got to take a stand here. Hey, real quick, before we go to the break, let's go to the phones. Our good friend from Rhode Island, Miss Carlotta, is on the line. Hi, Miss Carlotta. Hello, Miss Carlotta. All right, we'll get back to her. Let's take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. When we come back, we've got to get some crime news. A lot of freaky stuff going down across the Fruited Plain. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Hey, by the way, if you haven't already done so, gotta head over to the website, get yourself a free subscription to the Todd Starnes podcast. All 3 hours, commercial free, of the program available for you and your download. Also, we have the newsletter, and you know, we just had a potential client. Come in. His mom and dad live down in Alabama, in the Auburn area, and they subscribe to the newsletter. And the guy says, you know, my parents are huge fans of yours. And so we sent him a couple of signed books, and we got him hooked up with a lot of swag to send back to Auburn, Alabama. And glad to do so, even though the Auburn Tigers decimated the Tennessee Volunteers over the weekend. It was unfortunate. All right, time now for crime news across the country.
Keeping you updated on crimes sweeping across the Fruited Plain.
I ain't scared of no popo car, the popo car, the popo.
This is the Starnes ABB.
All right, Grace Baker has compiled a sorted affair of stories across the Fruited Plain. From Trump National Golf Club in Sterling, Virginia, a Trump supporter has been charged with simple assault. And what did this man do? Video shows the entire altercation just a few days ago. Raymond Deskins, age 61, wearing a Trump shirt. And he apparently breathed on two women. Oh, dear.
How dare he?
Is that it? That's all he did was breathe on the women?
Yep.
The women complained that he was too close to them and he was not wearing a mask. And we have the video up on the live show blog. One of the women said, "Get away! Get away!" Oh, she was definitely a Karen. I saw the video. Both of them were Karens.
Come on, man.
And the protester says, "You're in my face and you don't have a mask." Actually, she had more of a baritone voice. Maybe she was more like a Darlene. I don't know.
Maybe a carry.
Anyway, the guy says, "I breathed on you." That's assault.
No problem being oppressed.
The Loudoun County Sheriff's Office released a statement saying these people are slap crazy. No, they did not, but they did charge the man with simple assault. Why is that an assault? Why is that simple assault just breathing on someone? I mean, did he have bad breath? Was it a little garlicky?
Man, if we were charging people for having bad breath, a lot of people would be in jail right now.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. All right, there you go. Dateline Philadelphia. Thank you, Claire. A reputed wise guy is among more than a dozen mobsters arrested in South Philly. I didn't realize this was still a thing. I'm kind of glad because I'm a huge, I love the mafia stories and the movies. John Gotti, you got The Godfather, 1, 2, and 3, which was pretty terrible, but the other two were very good. So I'm kind of, this isn't a fascinating story. And what's fascinating are the names of the mobsters. And one of the big wise guys named Tony Meatballs.
Nice. I mean, if you're going to be a mobster, you got to have a good name, right?
Yes. Anthony Gaffoli, age 72, also known as Tony Meatballs, was named in a superseding grand jury indictment along with others, including La Casa Nostra underboss Stephen Mazzoni. And his nickname is kind of, it's Stevie.
Meh.
Stevie.
You can do better than that. Come on.
Let's see.
Stevie Calzone or something.
You've got Stevie Linguini.
There you go.
I don't know. Also charged in the caper, Dominic Grande, and his name is Mr. Hopkins.
What?
I don't understand.
There's some hidden joke there we just don't know about.
What is that, like Mr. Belding? I mean, from like Saved by the Bell? I don't know.
It's an inside joke.
So you got Tony Meatballs, you've got Stevie, you got Mr. Hopkins. There's also Louis Beretta, known as Louis Sheep.
Did they draw these names out of a hat?
You got Joey Electric and
that's pretty good.
Daniel Castelli, whose name is Harry.
Just Harry.
Just Harry. It's H-A-R-R-Y and not the other. So, federal officials say that unlike New York City, where several crime families have ruled over the years, Philadelphia has been continuously under siege from the same single mafia family since 1931.
Wow.
That's a lot of meatballs. All right, there you go. Gotta love that one. Next story. Rockmart, Georgia. This is a great story. Oh, sweet Lord. I just saw the last story. This is horrible. All right, here we go. Rockmart, Georgia. A woman masqueraded as an FBI agent in a bid to get free food from Chick-fil-A, the official chicken of our Lord. According to the police dispatch, this is from the Smoking Gun, police received a suspicious person call from employees of the Chick-fil-A. The woman was in a white van. They're always in a white van. They're always in a white van. The woman was in a white van. When cops arrived at the Chick-fil-A around noon, they approached the Dodge Grand Caravan, whose driver was later identified as Kimberly Ragsdale, aged 47. Asked by an officer if she had any identifying evidence that proved she was a federal agent, she said she did not have one, that it was electronic. That's pretty. And my cell phone just died. My battery just died, or I would be glad to show it to you, officer. After being handcuffed, she continued her charade, or charade if you're from Tennessee. Ms. Ragsdale then began to talk into her shirt like she was talking into a radio.
Wow.
Telling someone we were arresting her and to send someone to the Rockmart PD.
She's committed.
Sounds like she should be committed.
Yeah.
That's terrible. If you have children, get them away from the radio for this next story. This is from the state of Connecticut. A man is accused of humping a tree on High Street.
Come on, man.
I just want to let you know, I parsed through some other really bad stories, and this is one of the more tame ones.
According to the Naugatuck Police Department.
See, this is why I don't let you see them before the show. I just give them to you and like, here you go. And I put the most absurd ones at the bottom.
According to the Naugatuck Police Department, a half-dressed man was seen on High Street. A 911 caller reported that an unknown man in a backyard, half-dressed, was humping a tree. screaming and eating branches.
This is almost as bad as that woman eating the horse's mane and saying it tasted like Laffy Taffy.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's
true. One of my favorites.
The suspect identified as Hunter Biden. No, I'm just kidding. It's not Hunter Biden. No, it's not.
It was on High Street.
My apologies. When cops arrived, the suspect ran into a neighboring house, causing its inhabitants to flee their home in fear. Well, yes, because there's a half-naked guy humping a tree. The police the police report does not indicate which half of the suspect was unclothed.
No. They leave that up to the imagination.
This is a frightening thing. What is happening? What is happening with our country? So anyway, the guy apparently was busted also for marijuana possession.
Ah, there it is. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. A half-naked man in the bush is, well, never mind. We're not just going to go there. All right, one more story. Dateline, Atlanta, Georgia. Somebody stole the presidential election. That's all. Somebody stole the election. I think that's the biggest crime event. That's even worse than somebody humping a poor tree. You know, here's the problem with this guy in Connecticut. How did the guy know that there wasn't poison ivy or something of that nature on the tree?
Ouch.
He was pining.
Okay, Claire, go stand in the corner. In the corner, my goodness gracious. All right, look, folks. Wow.
I hope people like dad jokes that listen to this show.
That's all I can tell you is the crime news is getting really weird.
I think it's because of the election.
And I suspect next week after Thanksgiving, we could end up doing an entire segment on. Oh, speaking of that, tomorrow, which is Thanksgiving Eve, we're going to do a full hour of trivia on the show. So we're going to give out lots of great prizes. Going to have a few special guests on the show, but we've had so much going on. I think we need to basically decompress, and we're going to do that on tomorrow's program. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you're going to want to stick around for it. All right, folks, it's been a lot of fun, a lot of stuff going on. Look, hang in there. We got to fight the good fight, and no matter what happens, we're still going to be on the radio. We're still going to be hanging out every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and yes, even Friday for you. So we're going to get through it together. All right. Hey, ToddStearns.com. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast, get the newsletter, get informed, and get out there and have a good day.